KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS False Pass.
Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Tribes in three states are mounting major opposition to a plan to rework the Line 5 oil pipeline. Six tribes just withdrew from talks with pipeline company Enbridge. But the Trump administration is forging ahead to fast-track a key environmental permit to get construction moving. The project includes a tunnel encasing the pipeline underwater where two of the Great Lakes connect. We'll hear about the threats and potential opportunities of the pipeline after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The life and legacy of Pope Francis is being remembered after the Vatican announced his death Monday morning. In 2022, in Rome and on Canadian soil, Pope Francis apologized to Indigenous people for the Catholic Church's role in the residential school system in Canada and for the abuses they suffered. The apology included Pope Francis saying he was sorry and asked for forgiveness. The schools operated from the late 1800s to the 1990s. His apology was met with mixed reactions. Pope Francis was 88 years old. Bison are being restored to tribal lands across the Mountain West and the Great Plains. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, a herd managed by a city in Colorado is playing a big role.
A few bison jumped into a grass-lined trailer. They were heading to the Kiowa tribe in Oklahoma. The bison are part of two herds that live in mountain parks owned by the city and county of Denver. And the city gave these 10 away so the Kiowa tribe could start its first herd in over 150 years. Bison were hunted to near extinction in the 1800s. Rick Williams is Oglala Lakota in Northern Cheyenne and was at the bison transfer in March. He says it included a ceremony and a song for a safe journey.
The buffalo were a sacred animal to us. You know, we knew that they provided all of our economy and our lifestyle and everything that we needed to survive.
Denver's donation is part of a larger effort to give surplus bison from conservation herds and national parks to tribes to restore cultural and environmental connections. Over the past 7 years, Denver has given 140 bison to 10 tribes. That includes the Northern Arapaho in Wyoming and the Northern Cheyenne in Montana. I'm Rachel Cohen.
Native young people from across the country are representing their communities on a national level this year. They were picked as champions for change by the Aspen Institute Center for Native American Youth. The group is sharpening their leadership skills while highlighting stories of impact from tribal communities. KNBA's Jill Freitas has more.
Each year, CNAY selects five inspirational youth, ages 14 to 24, from across the country to serve as champs, supporting their development through experience-based learning and tailored advocacy training. One of the champs is Myrook Jones from Unalakleet. Jones is focusing on environmental issues. She's studying environmental science at Western Washington University. She says she's been invested in climate change and its impacts on rural communities since a young age and has seen changes to her community through her own eyes.
I think over the time I was growing up, you can't help but see those changes in the environment. I was a kid, I used to be able to set crab pots on the sea ice with my dad. We'd go out on a snow machine and we'd set crab pots a few miles out. But the last time I stepped foot on sea ice, I couldn't even walk more than 10 feet before it got too dangerous to even go any further.
Jones and other champs took part in a gathering in Washington, D.C. earlier this month, where she heard many stories similar to hers from different areas across the country, from clean water to subsistence to limited resources. She says she knew that she wanted to be a voice for her region and to help find solutions.
The changes in the way from how I grew up to now has really led me to pursue environmental justice and dedicate time to that because I think it's really important to ensure that future generations are able to hunt for caribou and fish for salmon like I was able to, and to be able to bring those things back to my community is really important to me.
Champions for Change has been around for more than 10 years. This year's youth leaders are all in their 20s and also are from Hawaii, Oklahoma, Michigan, and Arizona. I'm Jill Freitas.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by AARP. AARP creates and connects people to unique tools and programs, helps conserve personal resources, and tackles issues that matter most to individuals, families, and communities. More at AARP.org.
Support by the Gathering of Nations Powwow, a live event taking place April 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Expo New Mexico, featuring song and dance, traders market, horse parade, stage 49, and more. Tickets at gatheringofnations.com and at the gates. Support by Siri, with a diverse and strategic investment portfolio for the long-term benefit of their shareholders. Investing in energy, infrastructure, real estate, government services, and more. Information is available at CIRI.com.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is fast-tracking the permit process for a protective tunnel around an aging pipeline near the Great Lakes. The move comes after President Trump declared a national energy emergency in an effort to decrease dependence on foreign oil sources. More than a half dozen tribes oppose the Line 5 pipeline project by Canadian energy firm Enbridge. Tribal leaders say the process violates treaty rights. In a separate legal battle, the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa is suing to stop the pipeline reroute, saying the state neglected to take important environmental considerations into account. Among other factors, Enbridge maintains Line 5 is a critical part of the country's energy infrastructure, and the new project will make the 645-mile pipeline safer. Today we'll learn more about this issue with multiple perspectives. Please join the conversation with comments or questions by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's now meet today's guests. Joining us from Seattle, Washington is Stephanie Sosi. She is a senior attorney in the Tribal Partnerships Program at Earth Justice. She is Navajo. Stephanie, good morning and welcome to Native America Calling.
Yeah, Jay, been a good morning. Thank you.
Joining us from Duluth, Minnesota is Jennifer Smith. She is the Director of Tribal Engagement at Enbridge. Jennifer, hello and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
And joining us from Boulder, Colorado is David Gover. He is the senior staff attorney with the Native American Rights Fund. He is Pawnee and Choctaw. David, you've been on the show before. Welcome back.
Thank you, Sean. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have all of you on the show today. And Stephanie, I want to begin with you. You are the attorney representing the Bad River Band's legal fight against the pipeline. We'll talk about the existing pipeline on the tribe's land in a moment. But first, what is the tribe's main complaint about a proposed reroute around the Bad River Reservation?
Yes, thank you. So the proposed reroute around the reservation just moves the problem just upstream of the entire reservation. So right now, the current pipeline is in trespass on Bad River land, but the reroute moves that around the reservation and impacts upstream waters, wetlands, and the actual construction of the pipeline has the ability to have some severe impacts to tribal resources. And not only that, but there's the continuing concern about oil spills. And this is just an ecologically amazing area, and it sits, Bad River has wild rice beds, and everything that flows through their reservation flows into Lake Superior. So there's a lot of concern about not only protecting the reservation and the resources in the reservation, but also the tribe's drinking water, the wild rice, and Lake Superior, as well as off-reservation treaty rights. So, the Bad River Band has treaty rights to the area that the pipeline goes through as well.
What about the proposed tunnel to house the pipeline under the Mackinac Strait? Does the Bad River Band have concerns about that?
Well, the reroute is in Wisconsin, so it is geographically removed from the Straits of Mackinac. However, the entire pipeline, Bad River has a concern about. We as part of the last court case that Bad River had about the trespass, you know, there were findings in there that this pipeline isn't necessary. You know, there are other ways that we can get the product to where it needs to go without, you know, the tunnel project, without the reroute. These are really both of these projects are really Band-Aids to fix an aging pipeline system.
What about consultation? Does Bad River have any concerns about how they've been involved with the process to this point?
Yes. I can't speak directly for the chairman or Bad River, but one of the comments that we have raised a lot with the Army Corps is just the failure to consult on cultural resources that are important to the tribe, which includes, wild rice and treaty resources. And that's been something that we've raised in all of the comment letters that are public that we filed with both the Army Corps of Engineers as well as with the state of Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
All right, well, let's talk now about the existing pipeline across Bad River land. Now, that is something that was agreed upon years ago. Why is the tribe now going back on that agreement?
Well, the easement that the tribe agreed to for a lot of those parcels actually expired back in 2013. And in the 2017 and 2019, Bad River Band made a decision to not renew those easements. So they're, Bad River is exercising the rights that they have as a landowner to not allow easements. And there eventually was a lawsuit that was filed. My firm is not handling that lawsuit, but the Bad River Band was successful. You know, that we do have a court order finding that Enbridge is in trespass on Bad River lands, and there is an order to shut down Line 5 by June of 2026 in that court order.
Can you tell us more about that decision to not renew those easements in 2013?
That is something that I think the chairman would be more equipped to answer.
Okay, no worries.
But I will say, just to quickly add, there are the resolutions that Bad River Band had in the tribal council, that the tribal council passed, are public. And so you can go and look at those resolutions. They do list concerns for natural resources, including wild rice and including the threat of oil spills to Bad River Band.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie, for that additional insight. Now, the Bad River Band is not the only tribe that's working against the pipeline. Are you communicating with those other tribal nations, and if so, to what extent?
There are a lot of tribes that are publicly opposed. Another tribe in the area that is publicly opposed is Red Cliff, which is nearby. There are several tribes in Wisconsin that are publicly opposed. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources actually has listed all the tribes that are opposed and their public comments that are available on the website.
Now, President Trump has declared an energy emergency in this country right now. What's your take on that? Do you think that's an accurate description? And do you think that action is just right now, considering everything we're dealing with?
Well, I mean, let's be clear that there is no energy emergency. I think that framing is unfortunately something that we have to deal with from the administration. But even if there were an energy emergency, Enbridge is a Canadian company. Most of the oil is from Canada, and most of it goes back into Canada. And so this isn't serving Wisconsin communities. It's not serving America. So even if there were an energy emergency, Enbridge Line 5 is not a solution.
All right, Stephanie, thank you. Let's hear now from Jennifer Smith, Director of Tribal Engagement at Enbridge. And Jennifer, you've heard the concerns from Bad River and other tribes. Is there room for further talks to reach common ground over the pipeline?
Well, I hope so. Enbridge is committed. We've been trying and have had a long-held commitment to work with Bad River, to work with any of the tribes and all of the tribes that are near, along, or that we're operating on with our pipeline system. And so, you know, I believe that having constructive, meaningful, and respectful dialogue and direct dialogue between Enbridge and the bands is really the best way that we could try and all work together to have successful income or a successful outcome. You know, I do need to reiterate that Line 5 is a critical infrastructure for all of us here in the Midwest and the Great Lakes region. The line itself carries about 540,000 barrels per day of not only crude oil, but also of natural gas liquids, which goes to another company where they turn that into propane that is supplying the propane that we use here in northern Wisconsin, over here in Minnesota, as well as in the UP and in Michigan. The line also, I will add, transports about 80% of the oil that is produced in Michigan, hops on Line 5 and goes other places. So, you know, the line is feeding three fractionators and many more refineries that produce the products that we're all using every day right here in the U.S. And even with some of the oil that goes over into Canada and is refined in Sarnia or beyond, some of that comes back into the U.S. You know, it's not just the natural gas liquids that are heating our home, but that crude oil is refined into cars or gas for our car, jet fuel, as well as, you know, many, many, many thousands of products that we all use every day, from medical devices to the rubber on your tires, asphalt on roads. And so it is a piece of critical infrastructure that we're all relying on. And so maybe if I could, I'll end it there, see if you have other questions.
Okay, that's perfect, because we need to take a short break. But I do, before we take that break, I want to point out that Enbridge is an underwriter for Native America Calling's parent company, Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. So you might hear their announcements on our show and on National Native News. And with that, we are going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue our conversation with Jennifer Smith, Director of Tribal Engagement at Enbridge. And we have the phone lines open for any listeners who would like to join this conversation. Maybe you live in the Great Lakes region, and maybe you are one of the tribes that's being impacted here with regard to the Line 5 pipeline, and you have perspectives, you have insights, you have experiences that you would like to share, you can do so. Just give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. 1-800-996-2848. We've got the phone lines open, and we're waiting for your call. The Trump administration's efforts to undo the Biden-era Inflation Reduction Act puts access to hundreds of millions of dollars in Arizona water management and drought protection money in doubt. We'll hear from tribes about the future of river water availability in the West on the next Native America Calling.
Challenges to societal harmony abound. Trauma, depression, addiction. In Native communities, these challenges affect nearly everyone. The Native American Social Work Studies Institute educates social workers for careers to address the needs of Native communities. You can be part of the solution as a peer support worker, community health worker, or a counselor with culturally relevant training from the Native American Social Work Studies Institute. Info at online.nmhu.edu. New Mexico Highlands University supports this show.
In the morning, as the sun arises, you wake me up with your smile and a kiss upon my cheek. Hey, I love, hey, I love, hey, yo, me, I love.
Thank you for listening to Native America Calling. We're learning about the Line 5 pipeline project. If you have any questions or comments about recent developments with Line 5 or any other pipeline projects impacting indigenous communities, you can join us by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE, or leave a comment on our website or social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, and Threads. Right now we have Jennifer Smith on the line. She is the Director of Tribal Engagement at Enbridge. She's in Duluth, Minnesota. And Jennifer, before break, you gave us an overview of various uses of the oil that travels through the Line 5 pipeline. What do you think of this reroute proposal? Should it solve the concerns by the Bad River Band?
Yes, we do believe that it will. So we have proposed, it's a 41-mile reroute, which we applied for permits for this project both with the state and federal agencies over 5 years ago. And, you know, we have had agreements and easements with the Bad River Band. The most recent agreement was signed in 1992, and there is a supporting band resolution to accompany that agreement as well. And, you know, our interpretation of that agreement is that the band would agree to allow us to operate the pipeline for 50 years in the current contiguous right-of-way across the reservation. Unfortunately, it seems we were in mediation and in talks back or in the early 2010s, 2013, 14, but it was when the band passed their resolutions, I believe it was mentioned 2017 and 2019, then that's when we realized that wasn't, we weren't going to be able to come to agreement. And then when the band filed suit, that's when we started planning the Line 5 relocation project. And so it does go around outside of the Bad River Band Reservation. We believe that it is constructible. The route was chosen because it minimizes environmental impacts when you're looking at, you know, different route alternatives of how can we be outside of the reservation, but still, you know, when you think of linear infrastructure or pipeline construction, the longer the route, the more environmental impacts you're going to have. And so there were alternatives that were looked at by Enbridge as well as by Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and we think this 41-mile route is the best one.
Enbridge is offering $80 million to the Bad River Band. What is that money proposed to do?
Well, that is our latest public offer. Again, we are committed to trying to work with the tribes and with the band, and so there is a court order that a lower court has ruled on, and so some of that money is to be considered for kind of back payment for that, for the easement, for the parcels that are in question. And so maybe just to make sure it's, just so it's clear for the audience, Line 5 crosses about 12 miles of the reservation, and in question, or I guess being disputed, is the parcels that covers about 2 miles of that 12 miles. And so some of that would be in settlement of that agreement. We also, you know, are looking at what can we come to an agreement on until we can get the Line 5 relocation built. There is currently a court order to have Line 5 shut down on the reservation in June of 2026. That is in appeals. Actually, we're waiting for the appellate court to put their order out on that. But, you know, really, we would rather work with the band and come to a settlement agreement than continue to fight it out in court, so to speak.
Does Enbridge have any concerns or worries that tribes, really what they're trying to accomplish is to just get rid of the pipeline altogether?
Well, again, I think I, you know, just need to reiterate that the pipeline is critical infrastructure, that we're all relying on it up here throughout the Midwest and Great Lakes region. You know, maybe I would add, the speaker earlier mentioned that, you know, there are alternatives. And at this point in time, there isn't. 540,000 barrels of crude oil and natural gas liquids are transported through Line 5 on a daily basis. And so Line 5, when it was originally built, was actually built to take tanker trucks off the Great Lakes. And so pipelines are the safest way to transport this kind of material. And right now on the Enbridge system, we have what we call our main line and other pipelines. They're all full. You know, we have long-term contracts and agreements with, we call them our shippers, but basically they're customers like the refineries and other companies that we're delivering the products to. Our pipelines are subscribed, and there are many months out of the year where they're oversubscribed in that we have to apportion how much our customers or shippers can actually transport because there's so much demand.
Now, tribes and other parties have pointed to a 1 million gallon leak from a pipeline in Michigan as a potential scenario for why they don't want the project to go forward. What do you tell them to appease those concerns?
Yeah, you know, no leaks are acceptable to Enbridge. And so you're referencing there an incident that Enbridge had back in 2010 near Marshall, Michigan. And really that particular incident was transformative to Enbridge as a company. Since that time, the company has transformed from our control center, which is monitoring our pipelines 24/7, all the way down to, you know, our maintenance operations on the ground, our public awareness programs, making sure that our emergency responders and communities know that we're there. We have invested billions and billions of dollars since that time into the inspection tools and monitoring and upgrading of our system. And so, you know, again, no release or leaks are acceptable. When they do happen, we use them as learning opportunities and take a look and see what can we implement so that we can be better. Enbridge, no one wants to have any product outside of the pipeline. And every day we're trying to safely operate, and we actually have a pretty good track record of doing that.
Now, Great Lakes tribes have also been vocal about opposition to the Great Lakes Tunnel Project. Tell us more about that project, and how has the company tried to address opposition and concerns from tribal leaders?
Sure. And so the Great Lakes Tunnel Project, we applied for applications and proposed that also over 5 years ago. And so currently Line 5, as it relates to the Straits of Mackinac, it goes from a 30-inch diameter pipeline to two twin 20-inch pipelines at the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac. And so hearing concerns from the tribes and from other community members and stakeholders, we proposed to build this tunnel. And again, we've been going through the permitting process for over 5 years on the Great Lakes Tunnel Project as well, and really have been able to learn a lot about, you know, the area. We've actually completed over 40,000 hours of survey work in that area for the project. But we're committed to getting the dual pipelines off out of the Straits of Mackinac. They are safe as they operate today. Line 5 is safe as it operates its entirety. We have never had a leak at the Straits of Mackinac or on the Bad River Reservation. But we are proposing these projects to make a safe pipeline even safer to try and address those concerns.
Jennifer, what are some of the risks involved with building an underground tunnel? This sounds like a pretty, like a really intense undertaking, an engineering undertaking. And how does the company plan on minimizing those risks?
Well, and absolutely, you know, and I am not an engineer, nor am I a construction, let alone a tunnel construction expert, but I can say that these types of tunnels are in use and built all across not only North America, but across the world. We have tunnels that utilize this type of tunnel boring machine that we're proposing all over where we're driving through them, or they are used for utilities. We actually have a tunnel in southern Wisconsin, not the size of this one, but, you know, where we have a pipeline in there. And so, again, you know, the technology is there. There are experts. We have selected a contractor who, you know, has done this before. They're experts in their fields, and so we're confident that it can absolutely be done safely.
Jennifer, do you think there's an energy emergency, as President Trump says?
You know, and I appreciate the question, because that's an important distinction. What I'll address is Line 5, and I will tell you that Line 5 is not an emergency. Our relocation project, our tunnel projects, are not emergencies. As I've mentioned, Line 5 is operating safely. We are proposing these projects in response to concerns that we've heard. And so, you know, what we've heard is, because of that energy emergency declaration by the president, that opens up the opportunity to have these projects permitted under the emergency procedures, which, yes, the Detroit District of Army Corps has put out a notice that the Great Lakes Tunnel project is eligible to be permitted under that those emergency procedures. We haven't seen an official notice from the St. Paul District, which is overseeing the relocation project in Wisconsin, but we have heard that they do believe that is eligible as well. And so, you know, both of these projects have been under review for more than 5 years since we first applied. And, you know, I will tell you, we are all about following the process. We do not want to skip any steps. And I think we're still kind of learning, what does this actually mean specific to the tunnel project? I know the Corps has said that they're looking at releasing maybe the draft environmental impact statement in June of this year, which, if that's the case, that actually aligns with the schedule that they had published some time ago, and that is on their website. And so I think, you know, from the company's perspective, having some timelines identified and held to would be beneficial. But again, we want to make sure that we are following processes, and we are getting, you know, input and engagement from the tribes and interested parties, and we're not skipping steps.
We've got a caller on the line. This is Jill, who's listening in Ashland, Wisconsin, on station WOJB. Hello, Jill. You are on the air.
Hello. Yeah, so my question is, I understand Enbridge and the Bad River Band, they worked on the project to protect the riverbank near Line 5. And overall, how did the project go? And can you speak specifically on the general contractor and workforce of band members' involvement working on the project?
Jill, who would you like your question directed to? Jennifer Smith with Enbridge or Stephanie Sosi with Tribal Partnerships Program at Earth Justice?
Yeah, I'd like it to be directed to Enbridge, Jennifer Smith, please.
Okay, you got it. Jennifer, can you field this one for us?
Absolutely. And thanks for the question, Jill. So one of the concerns that has been raised by the band over the years was on the reservation where Line 5 is near the actual Bad River. There's what we refer to it. It's been called the meander, and it's a natural oxbowing of the river. But over the years, through erosion, through different weather events, that oxbow, that meander, continued to lose shoreline and continued to get closer to the existing Line 5. And so for a number of years, Enbridge has proposed different projects to try and protect that shoreline and you know, to slow or even stop that erosion, to keep it away from the line. The line is currently has sufficient depth of cover, and again, it's operating safe. But none of our projects over the years were approved. The Bands Department of Natural Resources is the environmental permitting authority for that. But last year, Chairman Blanchard sent a letter to our CEO here at Enbridge requesting that we work with the band on what was called a logjack concept project. And so we were very excited to get that letter, and our CEO absolutely committed to our teams working with their teams, and happy to say that just this past March, we were able to successfully install this logjack project, which if you think about, you know, the old game with the ball and the metal jacks, these logjacks are just that. They look like, you know, very large jacks that are built of trees and boulders, natural materials, all sourced locally within the area there in northern Wisconsin. But I think it was a great example of when the two parties can talk and have direct dialogue, how we can come up with successful solutions. And so, Jill, the other part of the question there was about, you know, who did it, who was the contractor. And so we actually had a Native woman-owned contracting company that was our primary contractor on the project. And about 60% of the workers on the project with the company were Native, and many of them were Bad River members. And so this was a months-long project between design, but then also the assembly of the log jacks, moving them onto the reservation. And actually, it still continues today as we work with the band's Natural Resources Department on some of the conditions that the approved permits have.
All right, Jennifer, thank you for answering that caller's question. That was Jill who called in from Ashland, Wisconsin, listening on station WOJB. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers fast-tracking the permit process for a protective tunnel around an aging pipeline near the Great Lakes. That's the focus, part of the focus of today's conversation. And we've still got the phone lines open for anyone else who would like to join the conversation. Just give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. 1-800-996-2848. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit more with Stephanie Soce with the Tribal Partnerships Program at Earth Justice. And we're also going to speak with David Gover. He is a senior staff attorney with the Native American Rights Fund. He's in Boulder, Colorado. And as always, we invite you, our listeners, to join us. That phone number again is 1-800-996-2848. Give us a call. We still have the phone lines open. We've got producers. They're standing by waiting for you to call and join the conversation. Anyone, especially listening up there in the Great Lakes region, would really like to hear more perspectives. 1-800-99-NATIVE.
Trickster Cultural Center in Schaumburg, Illinois hosts a youth powwow May 31st, Pride Celebration June 7th, and the National Gathering of American Indian Veterans July 18th and 19th. Info at TricksterCulturalCenter.org, who support this show. Skugtash. For more than 40 years, Ramona Farms has revived ancient traditional foods. Tepary beans, pinoli, polentas, and more, all from store.ramonafarms.com. Ramona Farms supports this show. Omnye.
Support by the American Indian College Fund. The American Indian College Fund provides millions of dollars of scholarships to thousands of Native students every year. Tribal citizens of every age and experience are eligible. The deadline for applications is May 31st, and you can find everything you need to apply at collegefund.org. That's collegefund.org, or by phone at 800-766-FUND. Education is the answer.
Challenges to societal harmony abound. Trauma, depression, addiction. In Native communities, these challenges affect nearly everyone. The Native American Social Work Studies Institute educates social workers for careers to address the needs of Native communities. You can be part of the solution as a peer support worker, community health worker, or a counselor with culturally relevant training from the Native American Social Work Studies Institute. Info at online.nmhu.edu. New Mexico Highlands University supports this show.
Support provided by Alaska Growth Capital. The North Slope Marketplace is now open. Arctic Slope Regional Corporation shareholders and descendants are eligible. Applications are available at alaskagrowth.com under Marketplace.
Support for journalism that raises the awareness of child well-being to citizens and to policymakers provided by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, building a brighter future for children, families, and communities. Information at aecf.org.
You're listening to Native America Calling. We're going to continue our conversation now about developments and legal challenges by tribes regarding the Line 5 pipeline in the Great Lakes region. You can join with comments or questions by calling 1-800-996-2848. One of our guests, Stephanie Sosi, is in Seattle, Washington, where she is a senior attorney in the Tribal Partnerships Program at Earth Justice. Stephanie, I want to ask you, the Bad River Band has accused the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for an inadequate final environmental impact statement. Why was it inadequate?
Yeah, so we have active litigation against Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. One, you know, the final environmental impact statement was inadequate. And then two, challenging the permit that the state issued to the project. And, you know, we've been working on this for years, and you can throw, it's a massive document, but what it doesn't have are the actual impacts that the project will have on the area. And one example I point to quite often is, you know, we're crossing over 100 waterways and wetlands, and, you know, there's going to be trenching, there's going to be horizontal directional drilling, but one of the construction methods proposed is through blasting. And the blasting plan that we've seen in the FEIS is only 12 pages long. So we don't know where the blasting is happening. We don't know, you know, there are certain crossings that are proposed, but it says in there might be more. We don't have an actual plan of how blasting, you know, will happen. And we don't know what the impacts of those site-specific blasting areas will be on the bedrock, on the water. And so you can have a lot of pages, but we have no actual information looking at the impacts of the project. And so that's just one example, but we have plenty of examples that are pointed out again in comments that we've submitted to Wisconsin DNR and to the Army Corps that have pointed out these deficiencies for years. And we haven't seen any firm analysis. And so when the final environmental impact statement came out and when the permits approving the project for the state side came out, we challenged them in court.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Let's bring David Gover into our conversation now. He is in Boulder, Colorado. He's the senior staff attorney with the Native American Rights Fund. And David, I want to thank you again for joining the show. And let's talk about the Bay Mills Indian community. They're one of the tribes that withdrew from consultation with the Army Corps of Engineers over this project we're talking about today. Why did the tribe make that decision?
Thanks, Sean. Pleasure to be here. A couple of central facts that we need to talk about here. When we talk about the States of Mackinac, that is sacred ground, right? That is the center of an Anishinaabe origin story. It's the heart of Turtle Island. And you're talking about a project, a proposed project, that would drill through that sacred ground, 10-foot tunnel or whatever, place these risky pipelines in there. The tunnel construction itself is risky. And you're talking about a desecration of a sacred place, right? And we're just coming up after the Easter holiday. Can you imagine if this proposed project went underneath the Vatican or through the Garden of Eden? It would not even be considered, right? So what we're talking about is a sacred place. Stop. All, you know, just stop right there, right? Sacred place. And then the second part, this area is protected by treaty, right? Treaty of 1836. You have Bay Mills and the other Cora tribes, what we call the Cora tribes. And through those treaty negotiations, you come to an agreement that says you'll forever have the right to usual occupancy, right? Rights of fishing, hunting, gathering, use of that area for spiritual purposes. So this is an area that is protected by treaty. And under federal law, those rights cannot be diminished except for a clear and express congressional action, which has not occurred here to date. So when you're talking about impact to those fisheries, you're drilling through there, vibrations, access is all denied. So that is a limit on your treaty right. And so those two things there, right, a sacred place and a protected treaty right area, this project should just not happen.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, so pulling out of these talks, though, what's the effect there? Because some people listening might think, well, that's just more reason to stay in the negotiations and try and get your point across.
Yeah, sure. Sure seems like that. We selected to be a cooperating agency under the EIS. We also have served as a consulting party under the NHPA, the National Historic Preservation Act, in Section 106. And you go to those meetings, you make these comments, you provide details, and it gets put in a black box by the Army Corps. There's no dialogue there, right? It's like, oh, okay, whatever, we hear you, and they put it here, and then they go make their decisions. And it became very apparent through that process that the tribal issues were not being respected or responded to. And it's just a flawed process throughout. There's several points along the way where decisions were made, whether it was the scope or the purpose and need of the EIS. You know, it was limited and narrowed. The sequencing of the 106 process was really delayed, so it didn't inform the EIS process. And now we have this emergency listing, right? So it just shows that there's, the tribal concerns weren't heard. They'll tell you it's considered, but when it comes to decision time, you got to look at the actions. Right, we can have all this talk, but when you look at the actions speak louder than words, and it was clear to the tribes that this was a flawed process.
All right. Now, the Bay Mills Indian community opposes the Great Lakes Underwater Tunnel Project. So what's the solution there? What are you folks looking? I mean, the pipeline's still there with or without a tunnel. What would you like to see happen?
I would like a holistic review. Let's really do an assessment of what that those alternatives are. We talk about, this is critical infrastructure. I don't think so. If you would look at the testimony from Enbridge's own expert in the Bad River case, less than 1 cent impact on gas prices. That to me does not say critical infrastructure for U.S. Processes. Or U.S. product, right? So let's take a holistic look. Look at those alternative methods of transportation, right? Let's look at existing line. We hear that it's maybe full, but when our experts in what there's called the PLG report, there shows there is empty capacity. There is room in existing infrastructure to move that product. We can look at rail. We can look at shipping. And you look at it holistically, yeah, Enbridge would lose out on some of those dollars, but holistically, you can meet the needs of those fossil fuels without a Line 5 tunnel project.
Okay, so now you're no longer in consultation with federal officials. How does the tribe hope to influence what happens next?
Right, so I'm going to get a little into the details here. So what we're talking about was the EIS process, right, under NEPA. And that was a cooperating agency status. So we withdrew from that. Well, there's still the NHPA 106 process, right? Historic places. We're still a consulting party there. And then there's still a government-to-government responsibility, a trust relationship between the tribes and the United States. So that's an ongoing process. So, and then there's the public comment process, right? So we can still interject and submit comments through that process. The problem we now have is this so-called energy emergency, right? And let's talk a little bit about that. We talk about domestic energy resources. I think it's clear that this is the Line 5 is predominantly to serve Canadian interests. And we look at the actions of what an energy emergency is, right? We're cutting back on renewable energy sources like wind and solar. That tells me there's not a real national energy emergency. We're removing other energy sources off the grid. So that's flawed, right? And so then we go into the EO itself. As it was mentioned, right, we're talking about a pipeline that doesn't increase the volume of product moved. And I think I heard Jennifer say that there is not an energy emergency when it's applied to line five. So I think we agree there that this thing shouldn't fall under those energy emergencies, should go through regular order. And then when you have regular order, that's when tribes and the public should have the opportunity to comment. What we have now is a flawed national emergency that will truncate all of these processes. Now, they'll find a way to say that they've met each step, but instead of a 60-day or a 90-day comment review, you're going to have a 15-day. On the 106 side, it's short as 7 days, right? So we're going to try to maintain our position in all these different processes, but it's going to be hard because of this supposed energy emergency.
David, another issue I don't think we've talked about too much yet today is what the impact or potential impact of the pipeline or the tunnel or any of these other projects are on existing fish and wildlife in those waters, and the impact also on tribal people who make a living on that water. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so at least for Bay Mills Indian community, I'll speak specific to them since that's my client. 50% of their over 50% of their households rely on these fisheries, right? So throughout the Great Lakes and within their 1836 treaty boundaries. So if you're drilling through there, there's an impact. Are you even allowed to access that area, right? If you got construction underway, so there's constructive easement or construction that eliminates access. So that's just fishing. We know it's a known sacred place, right? So that impacts ability to go there and conduct your spiritual ways, you know, your prayers and your access there. And then this usual occupancy. So just being there, you can't even just be there. So when we talk about treaty rights and impacts, you know, those are the kinds of things that the Bay Mills Indian community is going to have to contend with. And then ultimately, if there's a spill, let's say we have a catastrophic spill, well, then that eliminates those fisheries entirely, right? And then that is an elimination of a treaty right, which isn't allowed under federal law.
Is there a tourism industry up there, a tribal tourism industry that could be impacted?
Sure, right? All in that area, not just tribal, but just, you know, state-based and city-based tourism throughout that area. It's a beautiful place. It's one of those places when you see it with your own eyes, you're just struck, you know, you're awestruck, right? So, of course, that lends well to tourism and people, you know, throughout their region, throughout the nation, they come there, throughout the world. They all come there for tourism and definitely impacts that.
All right, so going forward, we've got listeners all over the country, all over Indian country. What do we need to be paying attention to, and where do you see this issue going to in the months and possibly even years ahead?
Right. So it's unclear what the process looks like going forward. There's some discussions that need to be had, some decisions by the Corps that need to be made about their own process, their own permitting process. But we should also keep an eye out for the state process. There's still a permit application pending in what they call Eagle Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy Department out of the state of Michigan. So there's still a need for a permit there. You still need a permit decision on the EIS. So, you know, if that's in the next couple of months or 3 months, there's still another permit decision to be made there. And then, of course, what comes after, if those permits are issued, you know, then we'll have to weigh our options and see what kind of alternatives we have to challenge those permits. So it's still an ongoing process. It's just getting ready to be really fast and undercuts a lot of the due process that's built into those permitting processes.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, David, we're talking about federal input here, we're talking about state input, and help us out a little bit here with regard to who has ultimate authority, or is it the tribal nations themselves?
Well, that's a great question, right? They're both federal and state processes, And of course, when you're talking about impact of treaty rights, as I mentioned, you know, that should include the tribes, right? And if you look at international law, like the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, you know, there's the concept of free, prior, and informed consent. That should be applicable here as well. Of course, that's probably a conversation for another day, but you're talking at least federal and state permitting processes. You're probably talking federal courts and state courts, and of course, the tribes standing up and for the exercise of their treaty rights and protection of those treaty rights. So, it crosses all lines, and I guess there's even a role here for Canada, so international as well.
Now, we did hear from one of the guests earlier the importance of energy for the Midwest. Can you talk about that? We got about another minute before we have to wrap up. I'm curious if there could be an impact there for tribes as well.
Well, again, I think there's alternatives that could be looked at. You can get those propane needs met without crossing the Straits of Mackinac. You can service it from the Upper Peninsula, and then you could service it from Lower Michigan as well, right? So those energy needs can be met. And again, when you look at Enbridge's own expert, less than 1 cent impact on gas prices. So I think because of the risk of an oil spill in the Straits and the damage that would do to the drinking water that serves 40 million people, we're talking about, what, 84% of the fresh drinking water that for the North America, I don't think it's worth the risk to put that in harm's way.
All righty. Well, folks, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have to wrap this conversation up, but I want to thank all of the guests who joined the conversation today. We had David Gover, Jennifer Smith, and Stephanie Sosi. And if you didn't get a chance to call in to today's show, you can still comment. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go to Instagram, Blue Sky, or Threads, and you can share your thoughts and your perspectives with regards to this issue we discussed today, and I encourage you to do so. With that, I also encourage you all to join us again tomorrow for developments over the fight for water rights along the Colorado River. Until then, I'm Sean Spruce. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support provided by Amerind. Amerind is 100% tribally owned and partners with tribes and their businesses to provide affordable commercial insurance coverage, protect tribal sovereignty, and strengthen Native American communities by helping to keep dollars in Indian country. Information about property, liability, commercial auto, and workers' comp available at Amerind.com. That's AMERIND.com.
This program is supported by AmeriCorps Vista. Through service with AmeriCorps Vista, you gain valuable professional experience and leadership skills while helping organizations in your community alleviate poverty. Find a service opportunity at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista today. That's AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Man of the Blues. In the wee hours, that's when I think of you. That's when I think of you. You say, but yet I wonder.